You're listening to the Bombad Generals.
General? Oh.
Hello, welcome to the Bombad Generals.
We're back
with the last part in our series of, I don't know, what are we, a battle deck.
Battle deck series, yeah.
Yeah, it's battle deck series. Yeah. And I'm here
coming at a weird time. Oh, hi, yeah, this is Matt. We're doing it kind of off schedule, back to the weekly, just so we could cram it in, but also just to kind of separate it from Worlds, because if it came out the same weekend, it's kind of like, it feels nice and tidy to get it all done now. But then after this, you know, we'll have a post-Worlds episode, and then we'll figure out the schedule from there on going forward. So don't get used to the weekly. It's tough with the time zone changes.
This is true.
But Seth has been very accommodating. So thank you, Seth. I don't know about you. Well, I shouldn't say this to a guy who's a father of two young children, but I really need those 8 hours, that full eight hours.
Oh, hey, no. If anything, after having kids, I recognize the need for the 8 hours.
Okay, well then I'll feel less bad saying, I kind of need 9 hours sometimes, I think. I think nine might be even more what I need, but I'm rarely kind enough to myself.
So you're
to do
a wimp,
that.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So yeah, good thing that I don't have kids, because that will destroy me, I think. 6 hours, like, seven hours consistently. I don't know. No one cares. No one cares about my sleep schedule, though.
So, surprisingly, because I have kids, I can speak to this. Like, all the horror stories, like, a lot of those hasn't happened to us. So, like, I think you stick to routine and stuff, you know, and blessed with a decent child, you know, you can have at least seven hours of sleep.
They're decent because they're your kids.
Probably.
Right? So if they were the spawn of me, then they would not be. And I would never sleep. The only thing that keeps me awake now is dreaming about Legion and thinking about Legion lists. But actually, legitimately, half the time when I'm up late at night, not being able to fall asleep, it's because I'm thinking about, like, oh man, what did I do wrong in that game? I could have done this in that turn two. Oh, I could have done this in turn three.
Oh, I've had some sleepless nights thinking of that. So hopefully this series helps us and the and the listener/viewer to not have those moments.
Start off
with supply drop. My daughter.
We've ironed out our game plan this time, so we're on the same page. Start with the condition, and Seth has left me. So supply drop is one of the funner conditions, I would say, but also one of the more random ones. That's where you've got the deck 16 cards. Speak of the devil. Not calling the kid the devil, just to be clear. But we were talking about kids being annoying, and now we hear a crying kid in the background. But anyways, supply drop. So each player is going to get three condition tokens that they can place. They've got to be beyond range one of each other and beyond range one of their deployment zone. So kind of like the same rules as recover the supplies. But of course, conditions and objectives can interact. They can start touching each other if you need to. So if you're playing a game like VAPS or Recover, a lot of the time people will actually put the condition tokens touching the objective tokens so that you can move up and claim and grab a special bonus at the same time, which is good. So if all the tokens are spent, each token has two charges, six tokens between the two players, you will use up 12 of the 16 cards. So you'll see most of the deck. Every time you tap the objective token, you're going to be drawing two off the top, picking one, sending the other back. So I guess I'll just kind of go into the breakdown then. Oh, no, Seth is back. Good, because I wanted to ask you a question, Seth.
Shoot.
And that question was, before we look at we'll talk about what cards are good and what cards are bad. Bad's an overstatement, but strategy-wise, do you tend to like to tap the VAPs early and have potentially the first shot at drawing the good stuff? even though, you know, maybe if you're looking for back to capsules, it's 2 out of 16 cards if you get the first draw. But if you draw one, you can take it. Or do you want to be more towards the middle? Like, let your opponent hopefully fruitlessly grab a couple cards, give you better odds, and then start tapping your Vaps.
I think for me, it's not that I'm in a rush to get it. I try never to be in a rush. One, it's a condition, so it's not game-breaking. But, like, if I'm next to it, I'm going to tap it.
Yes.
Most likely. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm right next to it, I'm not going to tap it. Like, I'm going to choose to tap it if I'm in base contact with it. And that is because, you know... I mean, you can think about odds and everything, but I still want to get those back to capsules and the stuff I want beforehand.
And I find usually whoever starts, you know, maybe it's just the way I play. I'm similar to you. I'd rather tap sooner rather than later, but I think maybe due to my play style or whatnot, usually I'm tapping a lot later than my opponents because I'm not going to rush it either. I'll just kind of take it when it comes. But maybe because of that, or maybe this is more universal, I find it's not usually like I tap, you tap, I tap, you tap. Usually it's like one player taps a few times, then maybe you both tap a bit, and then the other player finishes off their tapping late. So if the first player to tap taps like 3-4 times in a row, they're probably going to get something really good out of that, and I'm going to be a bit sad. So cool, we're aligned on the tapping strategy. But let's go through quickly. We'll try to keep it succinct. There's 8 cards, 2 of each in the deck. Do you want to read them out one by one, Seth? And we'll give them a thumbs up. Yeah, I want to draw this. Or thumbs down. No, I don't want to draw this.
Yeah. There's no particular order. So Field Scanner.
Yes.
When defaulting,
yep.
You gain a dodge.
You get a dodge. Great for nimble units. Jedi with deflect. A dodge on demand when you need it that can refresh. Awesome.
That's pretty good. And that is after attack dice are rolled, by the way. So you can get that. It's pretty nice. Holo Projector. Free
Heck
orders.
Yes. Free Great. Orders are good.
Especially
unless you're... Yeah, if you're CIS, maybe you don't really need this, but because you already have orders on everyone, but everyone else, oh, this is great. Because it doesn't have to even be the unit who has it. It's a range 1 bubble. So... I feel great drawing this.
Targeting rangefinder. You gain marksman. I don't want it.
Once in a while, like if on the right unit, it's not terrible, like a Galactic Civil War sniper. So you can just aim, shoot, and turn, you know, you get one hit, you just turn it to a crit and be done with it. Or if you really are trying to punch through armor. But yeah, most of the time, I don't love it.
Yeah, for me playing clones, I'm not wanting that because like normally like maybe like a sniper, there's a lot of lethal in the clone army. So I'm like, I want to spend my aims for Pierce, not necessarily to get a crit.
Mm-hmm. So. I could see it if it's like you're into armor and you just want to get a lot of crits with like you got an aim stack from Padme or Yoda. But yeah, not often are you're not usually thrilled for targeting rangefinder.
Yes. Precision scopes. While performing a reach attack, you gain an aim. You want it.
Yeah.
It's a free action.
Great.
Free aim token.
Better timing than offensive push.
Yep. And then that's after you roll attack. Your roll attack.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Your grapnel harpoon. You don't want
it. Oh, this has now become by far, I'd say, the worst card. Because Scale got utterly torched. Yeah. The only time I take this is if both cards are Grapnel Harpoon, or I know this character is going to have to walk across difficult terrain, and it's kind of just giving them unhindered for a turn.
Yeah. Yep. Camouflage, you gain low profile when you're declared as defender.
Hey, this used to be the worst. Then they changed how low profile works.
Pretty decent. Not the best. It's mid for me, but
it's mid. Yep. If I end up with it, I'm not too sad for the most part.
Not too sad. Yeah. Arc welder.
Depends on the list. Yep.
Yep. Back to capsules. That's
hell
that's
yeah.
That's the best one.
If you're not hella excited to draw back to capsules, you shouldn't play supply drop.
Yeah, that's like 18, like 15 points right there. I would say 15.
Yeah, I don't like doing the points math. I think it's very flawed. But That kind of transition. Let's transition that into, when do you take supply drop? I think you take it partly if you have a really good heal target, right? Yes. You've got a Yoda, you've got, I mean, clones in general like it, but you know, your Boba Fett's, maybe your Palpatine, if you've got good heal targets, and maybe if you don't already have medics. But even if you have medics, like, more charges are never bad. But what beyond that would you say makes you
take? Well, I would say, like, there's most lists are going to like it, but I would say there's very few lists that don't really want to take it. Like, I would say very heavy vehicle centered list, like a double AT-ST. Mm-hmm. It's just because you're not having the troopers to go out and get it a lot. So it's more your opponent benefiting from it than you are. Because your opponent can get, like, all of it because they have more of a trooper centered list. And you're, like, left with whatever's left over, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Because this is, unlike, you know, something like Recover, where you send your chumps to go grab your boxes, you want, like, actual units that are in the action to be grabbing these supplies.
Like,
if it's a guy who's going to... Yeah. If the guy's going to run and hide, having a free aim token or a free dodge or, you know, camouflage, a lot of that stuff's not going to be as useful. So you're really restricting the draws to, like, well, if this guy doesn't draw a Bacta or maybe a holo projector, it's pretty useless. So yeah, you want it to be on the fighting units.
Yep.
So for me, again, this whole series for conditions kind of comes back to, you want it to be more useful than for your opponent. I want to make sure it's also probably an army that is good at kind of pushing forward and getting that thrust. If it's an aggro list, or if it's, you know, clones with arcs and lots of scout that's going to really move up, if I'm just going to really sit back in my deployment zone, like, the whole game, not the whole game, but for a long time, and not tap these until turn four, really, I probably don't want to take it. I'm not in a rush to get it, but I want to be tapping them more like turn two, three, for the most part.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
I think when it released, I would never take it if I didn't have a good target for Arc Welder. So, like, you know, I used to play, like, Luke, Cassian, K2, you know, so you had K2 with, like, you could heal. These days, I don't care. If I don't have a great target for Arc Welder, I might still take it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I like it.
It's a good one. It's fun.
Makes games interesting.
Makes games interesting, but also can kind of, you know, if you feel it's one of those ones that can be a great equalizer, not a great equalizer, but can kind of bring players closer or widen a gap. So if you think you've got the skill advantage, or just, you know, the matchup advantage, like, you're favored for whatever reason, you might want to not play supply drop, because that could erase your advantage. If it's like, oh yeah, I feel good, oh no, they got both Bactas and a bunch of good stuff, and I've got double grapnel harpoon, then you feel kind of bad.
And one thing I would advise, like, just keep in the back of your mind for this, is that wherever you place your supply drop, normally that you're also telling your opponent, oh, this is where I'm going to be going.
Mm-hmm. That is a great point, because for lists, that might even tie back into the lists. For lists that you really want to know, or it's really helpful to know where your opponent's deploying, maybe you're a bit slower, or maybe you're kind of short range, so you kind of have to pick a direction and just get there as fast as possible, the telegraphing can help. So you might want to include it in your deck so that you know before you place down even one unit, okay, that's where my opponent's going to be. I will focus my attention there.
Yep. And then you can also, like, play some tricks like, oh, I'm going to put this one over here, like, confusing your opponent. Like, oh, I'm actually going to go this way. You don't care about the slide drop, actually, but, you know. Mm-hmm. There's some tricks you can play there, if your opponent falls for it, of course.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't. I'd say I rarely do that. Usually I'm just tricking myself. I'm like, oh, I might go over there. And then later in the game, I'm like, no, never mind. I was never going over there.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about supply drop.
That's all I got. Let's go on then to the deployment. We've got disarray.
We got disarray.
I can do the screen share. Right, oh, here. You got. Oh, look at this man. Baby in one hand, mouse in the other. Just multitasker galore.
All right. Disarray, each player must deploy at least one unit in each of their deployment zones, and it's the corners. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. I hate this deployment so much.
You don't even play it with Yoda Chewie with the barks?
No. Well, no, because it's like I got like hostage. Hostage is weird on this.
That's fair.
Sabotage on moisture evaporators is weird on this.
Yes. Yeah. It's certainly the most different of the objectives. And probably the most chaotic.
Or it definitely beats, like, you know, how we talk about you're normally attacking at like an angle naturally, just with all deployments. This one breaks that completely.
Yep. And this one actually too, table side doesn't matter. So if you are choosing, you know, if you've got this in your deck, you get to know if I pick blue player and disarray comes up, these are my two corners, no matter which side my opponent picks. So if those look like good sides, awesome. If those look like, you know, bad corners, maybe you pick red, maybe you don't. Who knows? Depends on the situation, right? But something to keep in mind is that you'll know exactly where you would deploy before table sides are even picked. When do you take it? When do you take it, Seth?
I think like lists that thrive off chaos, I would say stuff like Rebels. Mm-hmm. Not a gunline list. You don't really want to take this. I can see like a double airspeeder rocking this list.
Okay, maybe double airspeeder, but like a lot of Rebel lists, I don't know what you put in the far zone. Because that's the thing, right? You got to put one guy. I guess. Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
that's maybe the leading. But I don't even know if I don't know if I would run him in a lot of Rebel lists.
Blizzard Force, they would take this speeder list.
Oh, heck yeah. There's speeder. For me, I would just say kind of speeder lists. Maybe you could say vehicle lists in general. You need a very fast unit to put in that far zone. Kind of as we've talked about in this deployment series, you don't want to split your army up. So generally speaking, you're putting your whole army in one corner and then one unit in the other corner to satisfy the minimum requirements of the card. Often. Not always, but often. If you have a speeder, that means you can get out of there very quickly and reunite with the rest of your army. And if you have a slow unit, then, you know, like if Seth has a speeder and I have a naked trooper and I got to put the naked trooper in that spot, he can just go kill that naked trooper and rejoin the fight with the speeder very quickly. Doesn't lose a lot in terms of time, not a lot of opportunity cost, and he comes out, whatever, 40 points of kill points with an activation. So that's for me. I want to have a unit that I can either threaten with quickly and or probably and get out of there quickly if need be.
Get out of Dodge. That's fair.
Yeah. I've seen back in the day, actually, I feel like I saw a couple games like this of people playing Blizzard Force and they put two bikes in that that zone and they just didn't have the order control to actually get them out of Dodge fast enough. So, you know, picture two bikes, the entire opposing army across from it, just coming up and taking shots at those bikes. The more you put over there, the more turns it takes to get them out. So, I think in at least one or two of those games that I saw, maybe it was only like, whatever, two, three games where I saw this happen. I would term it a mistake. I think in like one or two of them, the player got punished because they lost their bikes before they could draw them. You know, Blizzard Force, this is especially bad because you're kind of fishing. So it takes some time. You got to fish for two support tokens before your bikes are safe.
Yep, that's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, if you love chaos, heck yeah. You start relatively close. Like, it's either kind of like a Battle Lines deployment, where you start range 4 apart, though obviously shoved into a corner, or you're like both on the same long edge and it's also range 4 apart. So not the closest, but both players are going to have to be moving towards the center because no one's really starting in the middle there.
That's true. Yep. Yeah. Great.
Cool, cool, cool. Alrighty. Now for the big one, I guess, Hostage.
Hostage exchange.
Hostage exchange.
Yes.
Honestly, a lot of the stuff that we talked about with recover the supplies kind of applies to hostage in a sense, broadly speaking.
I feel like it's a hybrid between recover and like a VAPS.
Okay. Yeah. Cause we talked a lot on VAPS about like that window of opportunity where the VAPS don't start tapped. You actually have to tap them and you have that opportunity to get some wounds. Hostage is kind of like that. The hostage doesn't start in your opponent's deployment zone. You have a window of opportunity to mess them up. But I think maybe why I'm comparing them is they suffered the same things with the force user changes. We talked about like the force push, choke, take the recover box. Hostage, it was the same thing. You could force push the hostages towards you, put the token in base contact with you, choke the leader, claim, run, and that's all gone now. I feel like the aggressive diving after your opponent's hostage is just so much harder now.
Yeah. I like it. It's
you like, play Yoda. Of course you like it.
Yeah.
It's very good with Yoda.
It's that turn two. Like turn two has to go right in your favor. It's either this. I've seen this. The game, this is an over exaggeration. Not when I say over, but this is kind of an exaggeration. The game is decided either on turn two or turn six. Obviously.
Yeah.
Turn six.
Yeah.
Because it's either you go turn two and you just stop your opponent from you wipe out the hostage unit, and then you can just either claim it or like then you just defend that unit there the token, or the turn six or turn two they get away, and you have to spend the rest of the turn either getting kill points or like. Turn six, you have to do a turn six play of like getting the either killing the unit that has it claimed or getting that unit out of the deployment zone somehow. Force push.
Yeah.
Vader's mic, something like that.
Yes.
So it goes one of two ways. It's like, is it going to go off on turn two or do I have to play the long game and make a trick play on turn six or just go kill points? Which I personally don't like going kill points because you're relying some on dice there.
For sure.
To where, like, if you're just going for the victory point, you don't have to rely on dice.
Yeah. I mean, though, it can turn into one of those kind of defensive objectives. If you are, if you did not have the bid, if you have more points, then you own the tiebreak. And if you force your opponent into a kill break or a kill point game, then they kind of have to come to you. So it can kind of, again, create that VAPS-like situation. So we mentioned Yoda. Yoda really loves this because he's got guidance to move units extra times. But also, you've got, I would say, the firepower to nuke a hostage with fire support to turn two if you want to. Though it can be kind of tough because you might want to play like the Yoda 3 pip, but then they have time to get away. But
interesting, yeah.
But, like, he gives enough moves that you can even shoot with your hostage. That's something we didn't even touch on as far as, like, actually using your hostage offensively. Let's derail for a second and talk about that. Because I think you like to do this, right? You
like depends. To shoot with your if hostage sometimes. If the opportunity sometimes? Is there. If the opportunity
exactly,
is there.
Exactly,
I'm going to take it. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to take it. I think there was a game I remember where I got a unit out, like, in the open. I think it was a Blizzard Force unit, one of your stormtroopers. And I think I got him out of cover. So what I did was I took a shot, and I think I wiped the squad in one shot. Or I got it just to the unit leader, and that was a lot of your firepower.
That was me? What? No, never mind. Yeah. I would never make a mistake like that. No, couldn't have been me. Couldn't have been me.
Yeah. I think it was like one of the first times you were playing Blizzard Force. Anyways, so I did that, and then I moved. So I shot and then moved.
Yeah.
And then I just used guidance to then pull my hostage back. And that, like, took out a lot of firepower turn one, and then I could still safely bring that back. I only do that if it's an out-of-cover shot, and if it's a unit that's like, okay, like, if I actually take out this unit or deal some real damage to it, it could, long-term, it's going to really help.
Yeah, because a lot of the time, the reason you don't attack the hostage is because it's an action that keeps you from moving. And yep. every move you don't do makes that hostage more vulnerable. But when you've got Yoda, especially that, because I think that was one of his, you played as one pip first turn, you can still attack, move, and then double guidance and still get three moves. So you're still better than average with three moves, and you start with a shot. Or you might yep. play the two pip, because that's the other thing. Yoda can play the two pip. You can still move, guidance, and get like two attacks and three moves. Though they're less good attacks usually. And you might start kind of far away from clone token sharing. So it depends. So yeah, for that reason, when you're placing your opponent's hostage, I like to, if possible, put the heavy weapons, if they're on the squad, put them behind like LOS blocking terrain with cohesion, if possible. So that, hey, if you want to take a shot, you don't see me with your... heavy weapons, you're tossing whatever, five black dice at me, yeah. which, and hopefully I'm in cover. Because that's the thing, when you place your opponent's hostage, you should also keep in mind, where am I going to want to deploy? Are they going to get a really good shot off at me?
Well, you also have the whenever the black sends, like, I see that play yep. a lot. It's like,
yep.
they're just like, oh, here's a range one blast, like, for my hostage use. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
That hurts, that hurts.
And one of the things is that they're sacrificing the safety of their hostage, but mm-hmm. they're going full aggro on you.
Yeah, like you've seen them do a move up and then shoot? Because I think it's much more common to take the shot and then move back.
No,
it's rare that I see a move towards you and shoot. Yeah.
Maybe I've seen the move towards me and shoot like once.
It's aggressive. That's very aggressive. Most of the time, if you make it unappealing for them to shoot you as their first action, they probably won't, because if they've got to move towards you to get a good shot, that's might not turn out well for them. But man, you know what? If they really mess you up, then who knows? But that does remind me as well, if we kind of go back to when do you want this, experimental droids can be pretty decent at hostage, because they can put it on a B2 unit. That B2 unit can threaten a big shot if they really want to. With range 2, but then also they can become speed 3 down to speed 2 with the hostage and just move quicker than most hostage units can because of the spending the surges from experimental droids.
Yeah.
So that is a little tricksy thing. Basically, if you've got ways to move your hostage faster, you might be okay with this. Stuff like Empire Mortars or Rebel Mark IIs are faster because they have a big base and they're speed 1 anyways, so they're going to be faster than a regular trooper unit. Just having one of those alone, I say, is not enough for me to want to take this objective. But then if you've got Boba or Leia or, you know, Padme in Galactic Republic, extra ways to get speed 1 moves, that's a really good way to just, if you're for the defensive side, keeping the hostage safe, getting them out of dodge. Palpatine, very good at hostage because he can play his 2-pip on turn 2 and make sure that you don't go first with the hostage and make sure he gets an attack off to really mess them up. So those are some units that I'd consider. If it's just like, I'm a gun line and I have a Shore, it's like Shore gun line with Bossk, I don't know. I would probably stay away from hostage in that situation, because you don't have enough tricks to really attack their hostage or keep your own hostage safe.
True.
The other thing I wanted to note, and this is again why it's tough to do aggressive hostage plays, but this was always the case, this particular part. Hostages, there's two things on their card, right? You know, they reduce the speed. That always happens. Well, I guess three things. Turn one, they can't be affected by enemy effects. That's just to turn one thing, but also they can't start melees. That's an all game thing.
Yep.
Usually this doesn't matter for you, for your own hostage, because you're not trying to like charge anybody with your hostage. I guess there would be a weird case where maybe to tie people up in melee and not be shot, but you can't do that. So you can't start a melee. The thing where it can be hard to remember is that force users, if you force push them, because they're the one moving, you can't like force push an enemy and have them walk into melee with you.
Can't do that.
So I've had this happen before where someone like blitz their force user up to you know, within a speed one move of my hostage who had activated, and then try to force push them in to be a shield and, you know, to eventually start chopping them up next turn. And then you got to say, no, they can't start a melee. And then you just spend the turn shooting their force user, and then they cry and learn the lesson the hard way.
True.
But you, dear listener, do not have to learn the lesson the hard way because you listened to the Bombad Generals.
Yeah. What also, a smart, there's a fourth thing that cookie. Happens. Their courage increases by one. Don't forget that.
Oh, that is actually also very easy to forget. So yes. Good thing that you mentioned it there.
Very beneficial.
Yeah, so you can't, like, you know, like, turn two, if you, like, smack a suppressive shot into a mortar, for instance. I've had this happen before, where, you know, shot a mortar, turn two, and my opponent and I both forgot that they got an extra courage, so they're like, oh, two suppression, don't roll any off, I only get one action. Not the case. In that case, you would get your two actions still. So another benefit of putting it on higher courage units. And then you could also, like, promote that unit near the end of the game if you wanted to for, like, courage bubble stuff, but that's, like, very, like, niche case scenario.
Yeah, but, hopefully your commander's not dead by then.
You never know. You never know.
You never know.
But yeah, I guess the only other thing I would kind of talk about is the scoring system. I guess we haven't directly addressed, right? 1 point just for holding a hostage at the end of the game.
Yep.
A second point if it's inside a deployment zone. So you can win 2-1 if you get your hostage back to deployment and your opponent doesn't. But if your opponent blows up your hostage, you could, if you blow up their hostage and, like, claim it, you'll still get 1 point. Or, like, you could get a bounty and win on kill points, even if your hostage doesn't get back to your zone, because it's, like, 1+1 versus 2. So there's, like, an interesting number of different win paths. That's the other thing, too. If you're chilling in your deployment zone, you got to be careful about, like, a force user, especially Yoda, who can double force push, or again, Vader with Vader's might, just yoinking you out after you've activated turn 6, and you're stuck with 1 victory point and lose.
Yep.
Be very careful about that.
But if you're playing Yoda or Vader, that's a good strategy to have.
Very good strategy to have. As you said, turn 2 or turn 6. So make sure of turn 6. And I think, I'm 95% sure, but I will read the card one more time to double check. Within, yes. So the token has to be within the deployment zone.
Fully within.
And this can matter with force pushes, because you don't have to get the unit leader out of the zone. You just have to get a tiny sliver of that objective token outside of the deployment zone, because it has to be fully inside. So, you know, a regular speed one move is 4 inches once you account for a small base trooper, but then you've got another inch for that token. So you got to make sure that you've got more than 5 inches of buffer to the edge of your deployment zone if you're trying to hedge out a sneaky force push or something like that.
It's true.
Yeah, it's true. All of it.
Yeah. There's no lies here.
Yeah. I was going to get in another sidetrack tangent, but we've wasted enough people's time. They're sitting there being like, I got to go submit my list. They told me I could pause, but I didn't want to. It's so compelling. It's so good. So we'll let those people go, I think. I've got nothing more to say about Hostage.
I got nothing more to say on Hostage or any of these.
Cool. Any of these. Yeah, that's it.
Do we need to recap all of the battle deck stuff? Nah.
No.
Go watch the podcast. Yes.
Re-listen to them. Yeah, give us those extra clicks. Listen to everything over again.
Not that we get paid for it, so.
Since we are releasing this before Adepticon, do you think yay or nay that they spoil a new mission pack? Before end of year, but also at Adepticon or not?
A new mission pack?
Like mission as far as like a priority supplies, vital assets.
I hope they do. That would be
I hope else. So too. That would be great. Like, that would be huge.
Do I think it'll happen? No.
No.
Do I hope?
No.
Yes?
Yes. Yeah.
I think it'll just be like Commandos and Bad Batch, and maybe a hint of some other things.
And Gungans. 25th Gungans. Anniversary of Episode 1. Please.
It is, please. Yes. Other than that, I don't think they'll have any more objectives.
Guy can dream.
Or, these are like two big dreams. One, new battle decks, battle objectives, all that jazz. Two, they're going to look at a bunch of like the old phases, old like Jin, you know, Obi-Wan, all that stuff, and be like, hey, we're going to reevaluate and bring them up to par with current releases. I think that would be
well. Awesome. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I don't think it'll happen. But.
I think they'll do another big like points change balance pass post Worlds, kind of like last year. But like they didn't. They were pretty light with the buffs. But like I hope that happens as well. I think some stuff will get addressed. I feel like it. Probably won't be enough. But yeah, I'd love if Pathfinder is a Jin.
Oh yeah.
We also just need
those units. Oh, I was just gonna say it's like. Some of these units, like, it's more than just points that's needed. So.
Yes. And they seem maybe a bit reluctant to do, like, actual errata. Because, yeah, points is not always the fix. But Battle Force, Scarif Battle Force, come on, let's do it.
Bring it.
What's, okay,
oh, rank if them. They just drop, like, two more Battle Forces out of Depticon.
Okay. Most likely to least likely, rank it. Gungans, Scarif Battle Force, or, New battle deck expansion. Which are the most likely to least likely by end of 2024?
I'd go Gungans is number one. I think that's actually most likely to happen.
Interesting.
I do think that. Okay. And then the second one would be the Scarif Battle Force.
Okay.
Because I think that's you print a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, the third one would be the objective battle deck.
Yeah, I'd flip the first two. I think Scarif Battle Force is most likely. Like, look, we're living in the age of the Battle Force now, and it's so easy. And again, it's units that you want to make them better. Throw Rebels a bone. Come on, please.
They need a bone because they're
getting boned
anymore.
yeah, it looks
no
like
more bad batch for them.
It's not on the we'll see. But it's not on the box. But anyways. Yeah. Good luck to everyone going to Worlds.
Good luck. We'll see you there. If you see us, say hi.
Yeah. You know what we look like. If you're audio only, go to YouTube and just like pull up some random you just look at the thumbnail and you'll have Seth has paused it at some time when I have a really unflattering expression, which is 50% of the time, to be fair. It's hard not to get such a picture. But then you'll know what we look like, so you can come say hi and tell us how much you love or hate the show. Hey, if you hate listen to this, doesn't please matter to us. It's still a download.
Yeah, please come tell us.
Or if you want to come say, hey, Matt, you're my favorite, and... You know, like it's you and then like Seth's child and then like Seth way at the bottom. Like, I'll take it.
I'd agree with it too. So,
yeah, I think that's the ranking we would all give the. And Todd is still number one.
Todd's number one.
Despite always. His controversial opinions. Okay.
Yes.
See you at Worlds. Have fun. Stay Gungan. Whatever. All that jazz.
This has been the Bombad Generals.
Listening to Bombad Generals is not scientifically proven to make you a better Legion player. Side effects may include bad dice rolls, missed triggers, aim losses, bankruptcy, divorce, vomiting, and sudden death. Ask your doctor if Bombad Generals is right for you.